Good afternoon. This afternoon I'm speaking with Mr. Charles Costa, chairman of our Board of Selectmen, who is doing a superb job. First, because of his even disposition and the fact that even in a very heated situation, he seems always to be able to keep his cool. For many years, Mr. Costa has been active in our agricultural affairs of the county as well as the community. At the present time, he is a dairy farmer living on his farm on Adamsville Road. I want to know many things about Mr. Costa, past and present. Let's start with your farming experience.
Well, it's right from childhood days, because I was born and brought up and my father was farming prior to myself.
On the same farm?
No. We started on the farm at Central Village, right across from the cemetery, right where Fred and Ann's now is land that I presently worked on as a child.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the Adamsville Road.
Yes.
In 1946.
Mm-hmm. How large is your... Was your... Main Road farm larger than your Adamsville Road?
No, it was a rather small farm at the time.
I was thinking it might be.
We only had about 12 cows at the time, and we did raise some vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Did you sell the vegetables, or
yes.
Just eat them?
No, vegetables to sell,
vegetables.
Turnips and strawberries and that type of thing, right, to sell sweet corn, potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated from high school in 46.
Where did you go to high school?
Westwood High.
Westwood?
I started off at the Point School. For my first 4 years, the Bruce Corner School for 2 years, the Factory School for 2 years, and which is now the Milton Hill School for 4 years, the 4 years of high school.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're too old for the new high school.
Right. Well, it was being built, in fact, it started.
Yeah.
I graduated before it, while it was under construction.
Mm-hmm. When you were in high school, who was your principal? Was it Norman Gifford by any chance?
Norman Gifford, and then I, when I started, and I think by the when I finished, it was Milton Earl.
Milton Earl. Apparently, Norman Gifford sponsored. He was very interested in athletics. Did you do anything athletically while you were in high school?
Yes, I played football, baseball, and basketball for my whole 4 years. And we did at least in basketball in my junior year. We were second place for Mary League Championship.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
And I did play a little basketball after getting out of high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I always liked sports, and I still do.
Yes. What do you do now for a sport?
Well, I really don't have too much time for much sport now. I do play maybe a little tennis in the summertime, and that's about all.
Mm-hmm. A farmer doesn't have much extra time, does
not
he?
Too much,
not
right.
A dairy farmer,
no,
anyway.
That's right.
Because the cows keep on in the winter when, let's say, the vegetables are kind of slowed up.
That's right.
You have to get up very early in the morning?
About 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually finish it by 6 in the evening.
So it's a 12-hour, more or less, 12-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
How many head of cattle do you have?
About 70 right now.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do? Where do you sell the milk?
Well, actually, Gulf Hill Dairy picks it up, but I really sell to Yankee Milk, which is a cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
But it is
picked up by Gulf Hill
in a tank car.
You don't have truck.
No more
of these. Did you ever have
milk cans?
Milk cans?
Yes. You had the 40-quart type milk cans. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, up until maybe 15 years ago or something.
And that was certainly a nuisance, wasn't it?
Certainly was.
This is so much. Gives you so much more freedom. When you had, you said you raised turnips, and when you had a vegetable farm as well as a dairy farm, what were some of the vegetables you raised, and where did you sell those?
Well, most of the vegetables were sold in Fall River and different stores.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to take them in yourself?
I did. At that time, my father did most of the transporting and selling.
Well, we're going along very rapidly with this. You must have had, when did your parents, were your parents farmers?
Yes, my mother and father were both born in Westport.
And your grandparents?
My grandparents came into Westport, I guess about 83 years ago. My father's mother and father.
That would have been in the 1890s or something like that.
And like I said, my father and mother were both born in Westport, brought up, and of course I was likewise. I've been here all my life.
Where did your grandparents come from?
They came from the Azores.
Azores.
Both.
Well, they weren't on whalers or anything like that.
No,
they weren't.
They just came over.
That's interesting that they would pick Westport, isn't it?
Well, I think they actually, of course, landed in New York, but then they came to, I believe it was Warren. And then from there, they were there just a short time, and then they came into Westport and worked out by the day on the farm for different people in the town.
Have they ever spoken to you? Did you know them?
Yes, I knew them. My mother's mother I didn't really know very well. I remember her, but that's about all. My grandfather on my mother's side, I did remember quite well. And, of course, my grandfather on my father's side, I was 8 or 9 years old when he passed away, but my grandmother on my father's side died at the age of 96.
No, that's, he lived to be a long time. They were all farmers.
Right. And this was in
1952.
And she did live with us, or with my folks, so I mean, I was more or less lived with her all of my life.
Did she have any interesting memories and stories to tell about her earlier life? I mean, anyone who lived that long, I'd love to hear some of them.
Yes, she had many. I mean, I know she, many a time she told me about working herself. My grandfather was working on a farm, she would be washing clothes, of course, hauling the water in by hand, and heating the irons on the stove to iron the clothes, and taking in washings, and doing all this type of thing.
Where was it she lived then?
She lived almost all of this time on at Central Village, the house which Normans occupy right now, right across from the cemetery at the end of Hicks Bridge Road. In fact, that's where I was born.
You were born there? That's marvelous. I like that. Of course, I love Central Village. I don't want to have this long pause, but we're going to transcribe these tapes, and I'll show you how the form the transcription will take, and you'll probably be very interested in it. You had to get up and help, I suppose, on the farm fairly early in the morning, even before you went to school, or did you?
Well, I did. What I did is, when I got older and went to high school, I did help.
But you didn't have to when you were in elementary school. You weren't.
No, I didn't have to.
Al Lee tells me that he used to have to help his parents even when he was in elementary school, very young.
Well, I did in the evening, in the afternoon and that, but I didn't have to do anything before
school.
I think I was fortunate in that
respect. He said he had chores to do before before school started. I guess a good many farmers depended on him. Mr. Madeira said this morning that if his two sons hadn't decided to stay with him and work with him, he wouldn't have been able to carry on, that he would have just given up the idea of farming, that hiring help now was too difficult.
Well,
what do you do about that problem?
This does pose a problem, but I have a full-time man working for me, and also a younger high school student who is taking Abby, comes in after school and weekends, and of course during the summer months. And I guess I've just been fortunate that I have been able to keep a full-time man, which, you know, again, I would not be able to have this type of an operation.
No, you can't. You simply can't. A person can't do that alone. It's too much and too long. When you go to bed at night, you go to bed pretty tired, or don't you?
Well,
you have as much help as you do, and you're as vigorous as you are.
I don't really... I don't really go to bed that early in the evening. Not much before 10:30, 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The nights that I am,
you have lots of energy.
But yes, I just think that I don't require that much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, because I am out a lot of evenings.
Yes. How many evenings do you spend on community affairs?
Well, I would say on the average of at least twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is an average. There are some weeks where you have three or four meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there are
what kinds of meetings? Tell me. I mean, of course, there are always...
Well, there's naturally the selectmen's meeting itself, which is every week.
Mm-hmm.
And other than this, of course, we do have union negotiations, which would fall on other evenings. We have meetings where other boards are asking us to attend, you know, have some problems some way or another on the end. We have meetings also out of town with the different...
Is it the farmers' union?
No. When I say union, I'm talking about union as far as the town workmen are concerned. I mean, the firemen, the police, the
mm-hmm.
highway, the clerks,
mm-hmm.
the nurses all
mm-hmm.
come under the... And we have to negotiate the contracts for these different departments.
Yeah.
And this does take a lot of time. Days, well, sometimes evening, sometimes during the day.
You see, therefore, by that, you mean you're not attending your own union, but the
right.
unions of other,
right.
all these other parts
of the
town.
Part of the town function, right.
Mm-hmm. And so, as a chairman of the selectmen, you have to go to their meetings.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a pretty heavy load, but since you seem to bear it so nicely, I'm not going to be sympathetic. Most of this information, by the way, I got from watching you and also from Jenny Guptill, who's a good friend of mine and who has watched you closely, too. Do you know her?
Yes, I do. She's, in fact, I appointed her on the Conservation Commission at the time.
Well, she
yes,
thinks
yes.
very highly of you, and, of course, she's worked so hard on that and is so much interested in it. Aside from athletics, do you have, as a young child, what were you interested in? Did you have any special, did you like to ice skate and go sledding
yes,
or something
right,
like that?
I think I always did like sports, baseball, basketball, and football, you know, even as a child growing up, and of course, like I said, in high school, I did go out and play on the teams for all of these sports. And that really was my biggest interest at
yes.
the time.
This is high school. Now, thinking back to the time when a little boy would have a sled, did you go sliding down Hicks Bridge Road?
I did.
The
I
hill?
Went down Andy Hill many a time.
Yes.
That's right. I did.
Did you go ice skating?
Ice skating at the ponds around
Ever
there.
Go, do you, did you go? Do you go hunting?
Not
fishing?
Too, not too much. I haven't done much fishing or hunting occasionally, but I really haven't had the time
mm-hmm.
as I got older. Just
mm-hmm.
didn't have the time. But with the farm and all of this, I do like boating. In fact, I had a small boat when I was a teenager, but as time went on, I just didn't have the time.
You just didn't have the time to was it a plastic boat? That
no, it was a wooden boat.
Wooden boat, and that takes a lot of time, too,
yeah,
because
yeah.
we had a wooden boat. And I know it always had to be painted or have something done to it. By the time we got it in the water, the summer was half
time
over.
To take it off.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Well,
I can say one thing, I think, along, as a child and right along, I was always interested in politics. I started attending town meetings when I was a student in high school, and we were able to sit on the side and observe at that time. Of course, at that time, they were being held during the day, and we were allowed to attend these meetings. And so I think since the age that I was became 21 and able to register to vote, I don't believe I've ever missed a town meeting.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. That really is a marvelous record.
And I always did have an interest, you know, in the town, of course, being born and brought up here.
Well, look at the number of people, though, who are were born and brought up here and who never attended town meeting.
Well, that's true, and this is a shame, because the people who do the most complaining never attend, and they just complain out afterward when they read the paper or you meet them on the street,
mm-hmm.
where they should be at a town meeting.
What do you say to them? Apparently you keep this cool. You don't say, well, look, why weren't you there? Or do
well,
you?
I may try to explain what they're asking, but then I would finish up with saying, well, you know, the best place for you to be would be at that town meeting and be able to get up and give your feelings there. It's too late now. The vote has been taken and the majority rules, and that's what has to be done.
I go to town meetings, but I'm too shy to, I mean, somehow or other I can talk with you now, but I think I would be pretty timid about getting up and speaking.
Well, I think as many times as I have done it, I still I'm nervous about doing it. But I think if you really believe in something, that you can just tell it like it is in your own words. You don't have to be a real speaker.
You don't have to be an orator.
Right.
No. What other things have you done for the... Well, except be a chairman of the Board of Selectmen.
Right,
you were a selectman before you were chairman.
Right. This is my sixth year as a member of the board. This is my second time as a chairman of the board. Prior to that, I was a elected member to the Board of Health, which I was on for 16 years.
16 years, and that's a real job, too, and
that's
a terribly important
one.
Yeah. Were you on the Board of Health when Frank LaPreau ever was? Dr. LaPreau?
Dr. LaPreau was on the school committee.
Oh, he was never on the Board of Health.
Right,
who was on the board?
I was on, when I first went on, I was on with Harry Morrison and Norman Gifford.
Mm-hmm.
Not Norman Gifford, the former principal, but contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And over the 16 years, I had the privilege of serving with, I have to think now. There were several others who were on at that, you know, in those in that 16-year period.
Were any other doctors were never on?
No, but we always had a doctor as a advisor to the board, and we also had, of course, the nursing department comes under the Board of Health, and we also had them as an advisor, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So we always did have someone as a doctor and advisor.
I took as my subject for display in the bicentennial thing healthcare in Westport, and I spent the whole summer beforehand in the spring up in the library reading all the town records from the beginning of the time that they had them. There's quite a little controversy, as you know now, about the so-called, what used to be called the poor farm, and which has had many different...
Right. I'm well aware of that.
I know you are. You're right in the middle of it. And I have a good friend who is, I mean, some of the people are committee watching. You know what I mean by that?
Right.
They're going to committees, they're not on them, they're going to see what's happening. And I think it's a good thing for people.
Well, that is a good thing. I mean, I think that people should have more interest in what is going on.
Mm-hmm. I don't suppose you want to express yourself on this problem. It sounds like it's
difficult. I do because I'm aware of it. I've been involved with it, being a member of the Board of Health, and involved with it on the Board of Selectmen. And this building, this is nothing personal against anyone running the place. The only thing that I think we have always been really worried about, I know the fire department has really been worried about this, it is an old wooden building.
Mm-hmm.
These elderly people on the second floor with narrow, winding stairways. And it's just that we feel if, you know...
If there was a fire, they couldn't make it out.
If there was a fire, there would be no way of really getting them out, I don't think. Especially if they panicked or if something happened like this. And it's just a worry on us as officials to know this is going on, and what even made it worse, the state will not approve this as a nursing home because they won't license them as such because of the safety conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And to just go along and license this as a lodging house, just to more or less circumvent the law, we just didn't feel that this was right.
I think you were absolutely right in the decision that was made. It seemed to me as if it was
impossible. I think, though, that really we will have to, this former poor farm was rented to this woman by a vote of town meeting, and
mm-hmm.
I think really before anything else is done, or whatever is to be done with it, I will see that an article will go into this year's town meeting as far as to what the town. I would hate to see the town ever sell that property because it goes right to the river and it's a real nice, valuable, beautiful,
yes, beautiful
location. I like to see, you know, something.
Use should be made of it by the town.
Right. I realize that the insurance, of course, if you leave the house vacant, will lapse after 60 days. And I would think that maybe the most practical thing would be maybe just to rent it to a family or something, if you, just to keep the building up, keep it from, you know, going to pieces.
Yeah.
And also on insurance. But as far as the actual land and barn is being leased right now by Howard Tripp, who is another dairy farmer, and there's no problem as far as that's concerned.
No.
So I think the town should keep it until maybe someday that they would have a specific use for it.
Yes. You know, there are many uses that have been suggested for it. I suppose you're aware of how many of them have been suggested to you, but two or three have been suggested to me, yes.
Well, I know that this was one place where they had talked about housing for the elderly. But the only thing there that was a deterrent was the fact that it was out of the way as far as stores, anyone getting out of the place. But really, location-wise, I don't think it would be a real ideal place for this type of thing. And there are other things. I don't think that you could ever license this place or the house itself for a nursing home or anything of this type unless something else was built there.
I don't know whether I'm giving away a secret, but Lincoln Tripp, who was president of the Historical Society, was here. I taped him yesterday afternoon, and he had a thought, and other people have had a thought, and I'm going to tell you about the thoughts that other people have had. He had a thought that now many people here, this farm was, well, this house, this part of the house was built in 1714 or earlier. It might have been as early as the late 1600s. And back in some of those buildings are some absolutely beautiful antique farm tools.
Right.
Now, Steve Delano collects all kinds of old farm equipment. It might be Westport might think in terms of a museum of Westport, since we're an agricultural community.
Right, that's true. Speaking of this place, I remember coming here when Mabel Ball lived here with my mother as a child and walking down from the house at Central Village and walking down here many, many times as, you know, 4 or 5 years old, because my mother was friendly at the time with Mabel and also her mother. So
I wonder if Mabel, I talked with Mabel.
Driving in here today brought back a lot of memories.
Yes.
Because at that time she was here with her mother as a widow, and she was weaving. I remember her.
The loom was right in there.
Sitting in here weaving as when I came in here with my mother. I remember her out there milking the goats and trying to raise feed and doing this all by hand to feed them.
She worked like a she worked terribly hard.
And it must be all of 30 years since I've been in here. And,
I think so. Because we've been here 25 years. And, you couldn't have been, you haven't been here since we've been here.
Right, right.
And her mother was awfully sick the winter before they moved, before we bought the place. And all of our friends thought we were absolutely crazy because it was falling to pieces.
Right.
And so we hired Will Brightman helped us a great deal, but we did an awful lot of work on it ourselves. We were younger then, and my husband worked like a dog when he was supposed to be taking a vacation. So it's taken lots of effort, and it's never going to be what we hoped it would be, but You know, because I can't, I'm alone now, and I can't keep it out.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And, but I try. I before I got into this taping business, I was much more active in keeping it up. But you're about the 100th tape.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Not that you were 100th on the list, but that it just, I don't know, it's just the way it worked. Probably the best tapes last.
Well, I hope so.
So, how long did you say you were on the Board of Health?
16 years.
16
prior
years.
Prior to these six.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of problems did no one's ever explained to me on any tape what some of the problems that the Board of Health dealt with in any way specifically?
Well,
I know you're in charge of, let's say, Mary Hart now.
Right. Yeah, as far as being in charge of the nursing department, you're also in charge of, at that time, when I first started on the Board of Health, there were a lot of cases of TB at the time, which mm-hmm. came under our jurisdiction as far as reimbursements, or if these people had to be hospitalized or put away,
mm-hmm.
the arrangements had to be made through there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, always as far as checking out cesspools and well locations mm-hmm. and this type of thing was one of the big jobs at that time.
Now has the Conservation Commission more or less taken that aspect of it over?
The Board of Health still has to have approved the perk test and mm-hmm. the well location
mm-hmm.
Before even a building permit can be mm-hmm. given to an mm-hmm. individual. And, of course, it's with the larger house lot sizes and the perk test. Of course, for the years that I was on perk test at that time, that required, we didn't have state regulations as such. We, you know, we had your own town bylaws to go by. But
and Mabel had all these little houses down where she lives now,
right.
So close together that actually it was, I mean, it wasn't healthy the river at all.
No, that's true. But like I say, you were just going by town bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have the regulations or any of the equipment and so forth that you have today.
Mabel's a good friend of mine, and she's very happy to conform to any town regulations since she agrees and approves of the fact that the regulations are as strict as they are now.
The town dump always came under the Board of Health, and this has always been a problem.
It certainly is.
And it's certainly one now.
Uh-huh. Have you any thoughts about it? Have you? What suggestions have been made to you about it?
Well, I think that maybe that someone, including the Board of Health and any interested people, really, there are a lot of things that can be done, and I think that they should look into the fact of there are some plants that now would use up the material that goes into a dump,
mm-hmm.
plus the septic, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have a combination of the two. Of course, this would almost have to be done on a 6 or 7 town basis because it requires so much material going in to make this plant operate and operate efficiently. But the byproduct has been sold in other areas.
I remember Mr. File. Do you remember Mr. File?
Yes, I do very
well. I remember him across there pounding the whatever it was he was pounding and saying, what we're doing is just crazy. And then telling about a town in Germany that was heating itself and lighting itself and so on with all of its waste products.
Right, that's right. But I forgot just where this town is located out in the Midwest where they put up a plant. And it is now self-sufficient and paying off, and they have no problem getting rid of the byproduct.
No.
And you have to have so much septage so that you have liquid coming into this waste material.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a large cost to start the thing off,
mm-hmm.
but if 6 or 7 towns in the area could get together and do something like this, I think it would be much more feasible than going into a $10 million incinerator type thing that the city of Fall River did, and it's been shut down half of the time, and it still isn't working.
Isn't this, wasn't that foolish?
And you, even with an incinerator, you still have maybe 10% of that ash that has mm-hmm. to be put somewhere.
Yes.
So I think that there should be a lot more looked into in the future, and of course I know that there'll be newer methods coming along, but as far as recycling any of this material and handling this material other than a lagoon or the present dump site.
Were you happy as most of the people were when the lagoon site was voted
out?
Yes,
I felt that maybe